Dear participants, welcome to the University of Isfahan English Proficiency Test. We are delighted to have you here for the 100th UIEPT. Today, on the 13th of July, you'll be taking part in an evaluation of your English proficiency across various areas.
For more information about the exam, including the test format and archive, we encourage you to visit our official website. Additionally, we invite you to join our IATA channel where you can stay updated with useful tips and important announcements about UIPT. Throughout the test, pay close attention to the instructions and respond carefully. On behalf of UIEPT team, we extend our sincere wishes for your success. Now we may begin Section A of Listening Test. Listen to a series of short conversations and answer questions 1 to 10.
Number 1. Did you buy your ticket from a travel agent or from the airline?
Does it matter? They're all the same price.
What does the woman mean? Number 2.
When do you think your apples will be ready to pick?
You can always tell whether an apple's ripe by its color.
What does the woman imply about the apples?
Number 3.
My lease is about to expire, and I've decided to get a larger place. Do you know of any two-bedroom apartments for rent?
Have you checked the off-campus listings at the housing office?
What does the man imply?
Number 4.
Judy looks terrific these days. Better than I've ever seen.
I think it's her new haircut. Short hair really flatters her.
What does the woman mean?
Number 5. How about if I come over to pick you up at 6:45 for the movie?
Make it 7. I won't have finished with dinner until then.
What will the woman probably be doing at 6:45?
Number 6.
I'm moving next week and I have so much to do. I'll never get it all done.
Don't forget to tell the post office to forward your mail. You don't want to miss any important letters.
What does the woman suggest the man do?
Number 7.
Is that a new pair of glasses?
I'm making do with this old pair until my good ones are fixed.
What does the man imply?
Number 8. I've spent the whole morning at the library, looking for the information we need, you know, for the assignment that's due Friday.
I'm stuck too. Maybe Dr. Boyd will have some suggestions.
What will the speakers probably do?
Number 9.
I thought you wanted orange juice.
The machine only had milk.
What does the man imply?
Number 10.
Not many people know that I'm going to get this promotion.
Your secret is safe with me.
What does the woman mean?
Section B, Listen to a lecture to answer questions 11 to 15.
Listen to part of a lecture in an art history class.
I'm sure you've all been to a museum where you've seen beautiful white marble statues sculpted by the Greeks and Romans, or at least that you've seen photos of such statues, right? We have come to expect these classical Greek and Roman statues to be just one color. White skin, white hair, white eyes, white everything. The natural color of the marble they're carved from. Now, the ideal of plain white sculpture goes back to 15th century Europe, when Renaissance artists rediscovered ancient Greek and Roman culture. They were sculptures that appeared monochrome, so they created white marble statues. The impact of these Renaissance statues, such as Michelangelo's David, gave rise to new standards for sculpture, standards that emphasized form rather than color. But what if many of those ancient statues were originally chrome, colored from head to toe? Early in the 19th century, archaeologists found traces of paint on ancient sculptures. And since then, classical art historians have begun to realize that Greek and Roman marble sculptures were originally colored. Even if an ancient marble statue doesn't have any traces of paint, that does not mean it was originally monochrome. In many cases, the pigment would have simply deteriorated. Ancient artists used mineral-based paints with organic binding media that would have disintegrated on its own over time. In other cases, the pigment may have been weathered away while the elements, or someone may have rigorously cleaned the statues and unknowingly removed the last traces of pigment. So, the fact is, we do have evidence of polychrome sculptures from Greece and Rome from the 7th century BCE all the way through at least the 3rd or 4th century CE. It's now generally accepted that most, maybe even all, marble sculptures from that time period received some kind of surface treatment like the application of pigments, colored stones, or metals that would have modified their color. So, do we interpret a statue differently if we know it had originally been polychrome? I feel strongly when it comes to this. A marble sculpture that had been colored has another layer of meaning that was meant to affect the viewer. As art historians, we must try to interpret the intentions of the artists. What were the artists trying to achieve? Certain features of the sculpture were highlighted through color to stand out. In other words, they caused the viewer to focus on certain features. And certain colors represented certain things to the ancient artists and cultures. A color might symbolize heroism, divinity, or youth. One example to consider is the statue of Roman Emperor Augustus. This particular statue of Augustus that I'm referring to was discovered just outside of Rome in 1863 and was in terrific condition. It's about 2 meters tall, just larger than life size. It was made from an expensive, high-quality type of marble and was obviously carved by an expert. Now, it still had visible traces of color on the hair, eyes, and its clothing and armor. The paints have been very carefully studied, and it turns out that the colors weren't just from any pigments. They were from expensive pigments. The use of these pigments showed the importance of Augustus should be honored. And let's consider the extensive traces of a red pigment that were found on the statue's cloak. The cloak's a special garment that was traditionally worn by an emperor on the battlefield, and in real life was a red color, which, to the Romans, signified the emperor's authority, military and party. Okay, I won't point out any further details about the colors on the Augustus statue, because you can already begin to see that there was cultural importance associated with the colors. Symbolism, which should help us understand the statue better. There are many, many more sculptures that have traces of pigments left on. We have the technology these days to be able to carry out effective studies of these pigments. There's a lot of work to be done, but it needs to be done fast. Like I said before, these pigments deteriorate rapidly. So we really need to do the research before the traces are gone, so that we can increase our understanding of ancient cultures and the cultures which created them.
This is the end of the recording.